Good morning and welcome to One and All as we celebrate the third Sunday after Pentecost. And a big shout out to all the dads as we also celebrate Father's Day today. A few announcements to highlight. This Thursday at 6:30 in the evening, for all the adults and kids who want to be in the bell choir, you'll be having practice here at the church at 6:30. Deb said that they will plan on playing next Sunday if they can get enough people to come and join in. 4th of July is only a couple weeks away. And the Sunday before that, on July 2nd, we'll be having our Independence Day worship service. There will only be one service on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning. The Saturday service will be at the usual time. We're going to have a little three-day VBS this year on July 11th, 12th, and 13th in the evening. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. And as usual, we need volunteers to help out with that. If you'd like to volunteer, contact Sharon Kester, Joyce Fishball, or call the church office, and they will get you hooked up. And if you came in out of the parking lot entrance this morning, you may have noticed that the Blue School Tools barrel is back. It's on the landing going down into the basement. Personally, I thought they just got off. I got out of school, but if they want to send them back, that's fine with me too. If you would like to donate to that, it's really an amazing ministry because a lot of kids don't go to school with pencils and paper and crayons and et cetera, that you just need the basic stuff for school. So if you'd like to donate, just drop it in the barrel and they'll get it to the Salvation Army for distribution. And there's a special prayer request in your bulletin. Sarah Sturm, Bonnie Sturm's daughter-in-law, needs a heart transplant. And we ask that you pray for her. Cody's roommate from seminary, he needed a heart transplant also. And he didn't get it. He died this past spring. So we know the pain that, you know, is possible in this. He was a fantastic preacher, just a great guy in general. So we please ask to pray for Sarah and that God will give her strength to hold on until a heart is found. But we also ask that you pray for the donor's family, because in order to transplant a heart, it's not like a kidney. You can't give away one. So somebody's going to be feeling the pain. So please keep the donor's family in your prayers also. And with that being said, let us arise and sing our gathering hymn.
Let them die, and you tell me that you're
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson this morning comes from Exodus chapter 19, beginning at the second verse. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation.' These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The peoples all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Romans, the fifth chapter, beginning at the first verse. "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us." The word of the Lord.
Please arise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Praise to you, our Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This time, I'd like to ask if there are any kids in the audience who would like to come up for a sermon. Good morning. How are you today? Good? All right. Oh, my goodness. Are you going to faint? You come up here? Oh, cool. So how is your summer going? Is it going good? Excellent. Mine's been kind of up and down, to tell you the truth. Last spring, I found out that I was going to be a grandpa. I know. That's what I thought. Oh, my goodness. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Your grandma's right over there. Oh, cool, cool. But you know, at first I felt kind of down and out because I thought, grandpas, they're old people. You know, I'm going to have to eat lunch at 10, supper at 3, and be in bed by 7. You know, that's not me. I'm not a grandpa yet. But you know, I got over that real quick. The first time I walked down the toy aisle at Walmart, and by the time I got to the drones, I was thinking, this is going to be amazing. There are so many cool things that we can do, and I'm thinking about buying a horse for a baby shower gift. Do you think that's a good idea? I think it'd be unique, but I think that this child would like it. Little boy's gonna be. And you know, that really taught me a lesson, the second lesson for today.
It taught me trying to one on Hama on YouTube, I saw it in properly work, and then there was a total
back. Oh, cool. Cool. But you know, the thing that you learn when you're feeling down is that that's really not always a bad thing because you can grow off of it. And before you know it, what seemed like something that would really depress you will really pick you up. And that's the crux of Paul's message for today, that there is always hope if you go far enough and trust in God in your life. Okay, you want to pray? Almighty God, life sees many changes and many ups and downs, many goods and many bads. Lord, give us the strength to get through the bad because we know that your goodness will always be waiting in the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, throughout our lives, we go through so many ups and downs, joys and aggravations, clear sailing and not having a clue as to how to handle situations placed before us. Lord, help us to remember that you are always present in our lives, that you are our true hope and our true salvation in the good and the bad. And as we gather here this day to offer our worship and praise, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart will be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon text comes to us from our second reading from the book of Romans. And it's a fantastic read, and I've always found inspiration from it, since it serves as a source of hope and of guidance in a troubling and very restless world that we have to live in today. Many people, though, I've found out, mix up hope with wishful thinking. We oftentimes say things like, wow, I hope I win the lottery. Or, geez, I hope the government wakes up soon and quits wasting our money on stupid things. Or, like what's probably going on here right now, I hope today's sermon is a short one. Remember, that's just wishful thinking. It's not that long. As Paul starts his writing for today, it kind of makes you wonder if maybe he hadn't spent a little too much time in a dark, damp prison cell, and it was starting to confuse him a bit. Boast in or rejoice in our sufferings, he says? What in heaven's name is he talking about? I don't know anybody who likes to suffer. And on the outside, that appears to be really bad advice. Nobody likes to suffer, but that is a very, very real part of our lives on earth. Things are always popping up, making us think, making us wonder, making us lose our hair and worry. But to truly appreciate the wisdom in Paul's words, boast in your suffering, you have to dig a little deeper to learn where Paul is coming from. For Paul, his hope isn't merely wishful thinking. It's an absolute. It's an ironclad certainty about a future that's grounded in God's promises to his people. Listen again how Paul sees life's inevitable struggles. He says, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Amazing words to build your life upon. In this lesson, Paul shows us that how you look at life and what you hang your hat on in life, your faith, makes all the difference in the world. For example, take the story of David and Goliath, the scrawny little shepherd boy versus the battle-hardened giant. In a worldview that we have, we would suspect that David was going to get quite a beatdown. When the Israelite soldiers saw the big man, I imagine more than one of them said, "Good Lord, this dude's big. There's no way we are going to take him down." But on the other hand, I can see David thinking to himself, "This guy's so big, there's no way I can miss." It all comes down to how you treat your life in God, not how your life in the world treats you. As you read throughout the Bible, God made many promises to his people. He promised the world, Noah, that he would never send a flood to destroy the world ever again. He promised a very old Abraham and Sarah a child, that their descendants would be more numerous than the stars. He promised that by our faith in Jesus Christ and his loving grace, we will someday have eternal life. Paul tells us if we remain strong in faith, in Jesus Christ throughout the sequence of events that are the days of our lives, we certainly won't be disappointed in the end. But we need to take a note in Paul's discourse where hope comes into play. Hope does not come at the beginning of what he tells us. The hope comes at the end. If you want to have hope for salvation, you need to develop a faith, to develop a character that shows the love of God working in your life. That character is something that we develop by enduring the inevitable headaches, hurts, and setbacks that we all face on our journey through life. To help us endure the pitfalls of life, we must live by the words, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand." There's an old story of a farmer who had an old mule, and one day the poor animal fell into a dry well. And the farmer heard whatever noise a mule stuck in a well makes. The farmer sized the situation up, and although he felt bad for the old beast, he came to the conclusion that the only way to save it, or the only thing to do that was practical, was to fill the well in and put the old animal out of his misery. So he called his neighbors together and explained the situation, and they agreed to haul in dirt to help bury the suffering animal. But when that dirt started hitting his back, the mule figured out what was going on, and he came to the very swift conclusion that this wasn't going to end well, and he came up with a plan. As the dirt was shoveled in on him, he'd shake it off his back and step up on it. Then he kept going on doing the same thing, shake, step, shake, step. The old mule endured until finally, exhausted, battered, bruised, he stepped out of that hole. What looked like was going to bury him, the dirt, was actually a blessing, simply through the way that the mule in our story handled adversity in its life. And that's the type of character that we are called upon by Paul to possess. It's not easy to do, and I admit I'm horrible at it. I'm the king of aggravation and frustration. But as Paul tells us, we need to face our adversities in life not as a problem, but as a possibility. The worries that come along that look like they'll bury us oftentimes may hold within the potential to be a blessing from God in our lives. As followers of Christ, hope is at the center of our lives of faith. Through God's grace and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to turn things around and not succumb to the problems of this world, but endure and work our ways through them. It all comes down to how you look at life and where you put your faith and trust. True hope is knowing that God will always be true to His promises to us for eternal life through His Son. No matter what happens now, our future in God's loving arms is secure. If you look at Paul's chain of events, we see hope awaits at what begins as suffering. It's all part of the process of life. It's a reality that we all must accept, but we must also trust God to see us through. In a Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown is talking with his old buddy Schroeder. In an effort to make him feel better, Schroeder says, "Don't be discouraged, Charlie Brown. These early defeats help us build character for life, for later in life." Well, Charlie looks at him and asks, "For what later in life?" And Schroeder thinks for a minute and says, "For more defeats." Oddly enough, that is amazingly true. It's a crazy world out there. But if we stand firm on the rock of our faith and live by the promises that God has given to us, we can turn the adversity and the headaches in our lives into triumphs and proudly proclaim, "To God be the glory for all He has done, for all He is doing, and for all He will do in our lives to come. Amen." Please arise. It is only right that we should confess our faith this morning using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was given by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. For the church here and around the world, we pray. Seek out disciples and send them out with authority to proclaim good news, bring healing to where there is pain, and counter the forces of evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the earth and all its creatures, we pray. Equip farmers, farm workers, and all who labor on the land to produce a harvest. Nourish crops with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Restore lands ruined by pollution or misuse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who govern, we pray. Empower those who seek peaceful solutions to conflict and embolden those who advocate for all. Work through systems of government to establish justice throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who suffer, we pray. Accompany those who feel helpless, alone, or abandoned. Embrace any who long for successful treatment for mental illness or freedom from addiction. Heal those who are sick. We raise up before you this morning, Almighty God, Sharon, Judith, Pastor Charla, Rhonda, Kristen, Sarah, and all those that we may name now, either aloud or in the privacy of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For fathers and father figures, we pray. Console all who long to be fathers, children estranged from their fathers, anyone grieving the death of a father, and fathers who have lost a child. Draw near to all for whom this day stirs up difficult memories. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all the saints, we give thanks. Receive into your eternal care all those who have died and fill us with hope that does not disappoint. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together on the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious, holy, and good God, we thank you for Jesus' resurrection. Help us to celebrate him not only today, but every day. Remind us that because Jesus lives, we can stay hopeful even amid troubles. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world, for Jesus is risen today. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go into the world with hope to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.